Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and I have a website. It's called crosstheborder.org. Make sure you go there and subscribe to my blog. You'll see several resources there. I've been studying into prophecy for the last, 10 years, intensively, and finally beginning to understand the book of Revelation and Daniel and how all of the prophecy fits together. I know there's a lot of experts who've been out there, and they've been researching for the last couple months, and they all know more than I do. Yes, it is rather hubris, funny in an odd sort of way, how they're experts. And all my study is for naught, because they know what day the rapture is going to happen or whatever. They've got it all figured out. And I contest with them dailies, just try to lovingly guide them with as little contention as possible. And, if you're the elect of God, well, there'll come a time when He'll open your eyes to the truth of the wiles of the Antichrist and the work that He has been doing to delude God's word, to hide His identity as the true Antichrist. Yes, I'm on the air. Okay. All right. Okay. Interruptions. Okay, well, where were I when I was interrupted now? Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Well, let's jump into it then. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul speaking. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same, I rejoice. Boy. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. And that word there, concision, comes from our our Greek. Let me put that on the screen for you. For those of you watching the video, 2699 in the Greek there, and that means, mousing over it there, it says from a compound and a cutting down or off, that is mutilation, concision. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. What are they mutilating? For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. So, not too many people talk about circumcision these days, but here where Paul is spiritualizing the circumcision. Of course, the circumcision came through Abraham. It was passed down to the nation of Israel as part of their ceremonial worship. It was a sign in the flesh that they belonged to the people of God, the Yahudi, the Jews. They were His people. That sign in their flesh. But Paul here says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, the mutilation. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. You say, no longer is the sign in the flesh, but the sign is in the Spirit. And rejoice in Christ Jesus, who have no confidence in the flesh. Whereas the concision, or the scribes, the Pharisees, those that trusted in the works of the flesh, but the nation went apostate, and they let it apostate. Several occasions. The first time, leading their apostasy, the abominations made the nation desolate. And God moved the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, to go in and destroy the temple and the city and decimate the nation and carry those captive that were not killed. Again, once again, Israel went apostate. The abomination that made it desolate came to its fall at the time of our Messiah, of his appearing. And again, the Heavenly Father used the Romans as his sword in judgment against that nation, that apostate nation. And they destroyed the temple and the city, and those that they didn't kill, they took captive and sold into slavery. And Jesus warned those that were faithful when he was there during the 70th week, the last and final week determined for the salvation of Israel. 70 weeks are determined, Daniel, for your people and your city, Jerusalem. And the Messiah showed up for the last week. He said, I have not come but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he preached the message, and he went to the cross. And there were a remnant elect in national Israel. There was that remnant that followed and received the Messiah. And they took that gospel and they carried it to the world. No longer. Jesus warned them to flee Jerusalem. And so they sold their properties. They pooled their resources. It says in the gospel, they had, in Acts, they had things in common. And some of them didn't. Some of them sold their property and took their family and fled on their own. And some had things in common, especially if you were in Jerusalem itself. Because you know that destruction was coming to that city. You had been warned by the Messiah, by the last great prophet promised to Israel. And the true church, the true remnant, the true elect of God, God's chosen people, obeyed the Messiah. They obeyed their king who appeared and laid down his life for them, and they fled. And those disobedient, many of them were killed. Some of them were taken captive. And there were a lot of innocent, led astray, taken captive and sold into slavery of the Judaistic religion that rejected the Messiah. God had mercy. 40 years he waited after the Messiah was crucified, after he gave up his life on the cross and finished the work, putting an end to the sacrifice and oblation by the sacrifice of himself. 40 years. Then the desolation determined was poured out upon the desolate, going back to the words that were penned by the prophet Daniel and reiterated by Christ, who also foretold that same destruction that was coming by the word of the prophets. But beware of dogs, beware of evildoers, beware of the concision. He says, because we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, the confidence in the outer court today, yeah, their confidence is still in the flesh. You have the great Antichrist church said even an atheist, that's what the Antichrist said, even the atheist can be saved if he just does what he believes is right in his heart. Isn't that what the false prophet Antichrist said last year? Something to that effect. They have confidence in the flesh. They have confidence in their own moral values. Paul speaking. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. I more, circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, am a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching law a Pharisee. Yeah, this is Paul's pedigree on which he is not relying for his salvation. Concerning zeal, He says, I persecuted the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Yes, I followed the law to the letter. But what things were gained to me? He says, yeah, I thought these things would gain me eternal life. I thought these things would gain me right standing with God. He says, those now I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. No matter what the cost, no matter what it takes, no matter what you have to suffer, be willing to lose it. Be willing to cut it off. Be willing to count it dung compared with the riches of the promises of God toward us. There is nothing more important. There is nothing that this mortal life has to offer that is worthy to trade for the promise of eternal life through Christ. Absolutely nothing. Paul continues, yea, doubtless, without a doubt, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And that is the mind that we all need to have, because we don't know what we will suffer in the future. We don't know what the future has in store for us. We who are living on the precipice of the seventh millennium, the coming thousand-year reign of Christ, according to my study, and you can see that study on my website. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and in the left-hand column there, I believe, if I bring that up here, in the left-hand column there, let me see. Is it trending? No, it's usually, oh, there it is. It's always trending. If there's a day that it's not trending is an unusual day, but you'll see it in the left-hand column there. What year is it? And as you go through that study, we follow the Bible from Genesis up to the time of Christ. There is an unbroken chronology in there that takes us up to the Roman calendar. And then from the Roman calendar, and this is the chart here, my summary chart. And you can see over here behind my face, if I can take that off the screen there for a second. Whoops, that's the wrong one. Okay, I'm not going to do that. But it says Genesis creation here, where my face is on the end. And if you can look at the summary chart just by clicking on it, you can blow it up. And it gives you each era, all derived from the scripture, the genealogies, Adam to Isaac. And then you have Isaac to the Exodus. Exodus to King, 1 Kings 6:1. Kings to desolation. Desolation to decree. And then you have 69 weeks unto Messiah. That's 483 years. Which brings us up. This is the Bible derived era. This part, top part of the chart. This lower part of the chart gives us the Roman era. Roman era prominent throughout the Revelation. Introduced to us by Daniel. This is the final era in prophecy. Get that little book. If I go back here. Get this book here, Key to the Apocalypse. And once you read that, you'll go, yeah. The book of Revelation definitely points out this Roman era that we live in today from the time of Christ until he returns. We call it the Roman era. Okay? And so we have that, and we outline Christ was born about 4 BCE. He was crucified at 33 years old, 40 years later, the Roman desolation. But we have the Roman era, and gives us for the year 2015 CE equals the year 5960 And that means 40 years, about 40 years. I'm not going to say exact year, give or take a year. That's a 3-year window, okay? It doesn't matter. For my purposes, seeing that this is like 38 years off now. Yes, the countdown continues. 38 years off now before the coming of the seventh millennia. And I believe the millennial reign of Christ. And I hope that I can be here all that time. I hope that I can serve God until He comes. That's my sincere prayer, that I may sow to His kingdom. But I don't know what's going to come. He could choose me to be martyred, to lay down my life. And I will willingly go. He may call you to lay down your life. We have this mark of the beast era where people, where everyone, all, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, all will be required to give their allegiance, to participate in a one-world monetary system. And we see that this is the time that it is developing. And some people are speculating because of the financial troubles and everything that's going on in the world that we may be going to back to a gold standard or whatever. But, you know, I see indications there in Revelation chapter 13 that this one-world mark monetary system is going to break forth on the scene. And I know that there are plenty of people that are high up in the beast governments that want that total control. They want to own the money. They already do. They already do through the Federal Reserve. Own your money. Because that's what a Federal Reserve note is. You don't own it. They own it. And that's why they don't like gold and silver coin. They don't like real money, because when you have it in your hand, you actually own your money. Well, when they take even the paper notes away, they'll own all the money and you will own nothing. We will. The whole world will be subject slaves of the Antichrist and his beast monetary system. And he's alive and well today. Yeah, I believe it. A lot of people don't believe it. They believe in the futurist Antichrist, the guy who's going to show up for 3.5 or 7 years. Well, I'd like to disabuse you of that idea. So get my book. It's free. Go to the Get the Book page on my website. And, okay, I'll go back to that. Go to the Get the Book page on my website and ask for that. When the third temple is built. Very timely. We are on the verge, it seems, of the temple being built in Jerusalem. Then the play will begin. And a lot of people think that they're going to be raptured, but I'm going to tell you, you need to read this book. When the third temple is built, the rapture play will begin. And I wrote this for futurists as an introduction to them, to kind of break them into the idea. Wanted to take it real easy. The title's not as blatant, so you can get this really cheap and give it away to your futurist friends. And if you'd like 100 copies, contact me by email, and we'll break it down to absolute cost for having these printed. And if you know a cheaper place to have them printed, let me know. But they're about $2.50 a copy, and it comes out to 130 or 40 pages, something like that, to have it printed in a pocketbook edition. So if you'd like to help me and break through to all of those that have been deluded into the rapture, left behind eschatology, well, this is the book they need. And if they start building this temple, this is the book they're going to need the answers from. And it'll lead them to the other books that I'm writing, that I have written there. And like I said, all of these are free. If you want to sign up for my blog, get that link to that book. You can share that link with as many people as you want. Honestly, I would rather they signed up for my blog to get it themselves, but, and they may do that, because to sign up for my blog and get the free e-copy for yourself, you have to subscribe to my blog, and I ask you to share by whatever social media or whatever method you have of sharing. So please take advantage of that. Okay, we're going to continue with Philippians on tomorrow Yeah, so make sure you come back tomorrow, and we'll continue with the book of Philippians. That way I can take 2 days instead of 1.5 to do the broadcast on and complete the book of Philippians. There is nothing more important than you cross the border into God's kingdom and you stay on the straight and narrow path that leads to life. There's absolutely nothing more important in this life than that. That's why I call my ministry Cross the Border. So please tell people out there about the broadcast. And if you feel the desire, if the Holy Spirit moves you to support this broadcast, just go to the support button on firstamendmentradio.com and give there. That's where I ask you to give. Don't send me a check in my name or anything like that. Go to First Amendment Radio and give there. That's firstamendmentradio.com. If you have any questions about that, there's a contact place to contact me, an email. You may email me at any time. And also, there's a phone number there. You can call me at any time. I have a voicemail, and it actually rings on my smartphone, so I may even answer it. You never know. Thank you. Thank you for showing up today. I appreciate each and every one of you. May the Almighty bless you until we meet again.